right, folks, you are listening to Ye Shine Friends on Israel National Radio. The Float Killer is here. It came to Israel and it ended up being a very deadly and awful terrorist incident where a lynch was planned on this flotilla of quote-unquote peace that's trying to break the blockade of Gaza, not, of course, through Egypt or through the legal channels in Israel, but through their own way. It ended up probably in what's looking right now as 16 hostiles dead and Israeli naval officers and crewmen injured. Amongst the injured is also Raed Salah, the crazy anti-Israel sheikh from the north of Israel, who was joining this flotilla in order to support Hamas. Let's hear the sounds of the flotilla as it approaches and Israel trying to ward it away.
Mother vessel Gaza, mother vessel Gaza.
Mavi Marmara, you are approaching an area of hostilities which is under a naval blockade. The Gaza area, coastal region, and Gaza harbor are closed to all maritime traffic. The Israeli government supports delivery of humanitarian supplies to the civilian population in the Gaza Strip and invites you to enter the Ashdod port. Delivery of the supplies in accordance with the authorities' regulations will be through the formal land crossings and under your observation, after which you can return to your home ports aboard the vessels on which you arrived.
I want to report this morning that the armada of hate and violence in support of Hamas terror organization was a premeditated and outrageous provocation. The organizers are well known for their ties to global jihad, Al-Qaeda, and Hamas. They have a history of arms smuggling and deadly terror. On board the ship, we found weapons prepared in advance and used against our forces. The organizers' intent was violent, their method was violent, and the results were unfortunately violent. Israel regrets any loss of life and did everything to avoid this outcome. We repeatedly called upon the organizers and all those who were associated with them through diplomatic channels and any other means we could to stop this provocation. The so-called humanitarian aid was not for humanitarian purpose. Had it been for humanitarian purpose, they would have accepted our offer to deliver all humanitarian supply through the appropriate channels, which are used on a daily basis, as we make sure that Gaza will not be in short of humanitarian supplies. On a daily basis, we do that. We ask them to send this through the appropriate channels, whether it's the UN, whether it's the Red Cross, whether it's our people, but to no avail. In fact, what they said was that it's a humanitarian campaign, but they said repeatedly that their intent and purpose was to break the blockade, the maritime blockade on Gaza. The maritime blockade on Gaza is very legal and justified by the terror that Hamas is applying in Gaza. Allowing these ships to go in an illegal way to Gaza would have opened, in fact, a corridor of smuggling arms and terrorists to Gaza with the results, inevitable results, of many, many thousands of civilian death and violence all over the area. After these repeated calls were not heeded by the organizers, we told them that they will not be allowed to break the blockade, as according to maritime law, we have the right to do that. Unfortunately, they also, people, the organizers upon the ship, did not heed the calls of our forces this morning to peacefully follow them and bring a closure, a peaceful closure to this event. No sovereign country would tolerate such violence against civilian population, against its sovereignty, against international law. And we in Israel call today upon all relevant parties and all relevant countries to work together on calming the situation. Thank you very much.
The six-ship flotilla began the journey on May 30th, 2010. Before dawn the following morning, the vessels came into contact with the Israeli Navy in international waters off the coast of Gaza. Al Jazeera satellite channel reported by telephone from the Turkish ship leading the flotilla and said that the IDF were shooting first. However, the IDF says that soldiers were attacked with knives and clubs as they boarded, and soldiers opened fire after a protester grabbed a weapon from one of the commandos and fired on one or more of the commandos. Six soldiers were wounded. One is supposedly in a serious condition. Organizers of the flotilla said the troops opened fire as soon as they stormed the ships. Right now, there are reports of up to 16 people being killed, along with dozens of injuries. The operation took place in international waters, as I said. But Israel's response is that there was a lynch being planned aboard these ships, and that violence was premeditated and was planned all along as the actions that the ship was going to take, that these quote-unquote peace movement people were going to fight against soldiers and with the intent of injuring them. I have with me on the line right now Danny Danone, who is a Knesset member for the Likud, and he is also the deputy speaker of the Knesset. Danny Danone, welcome to the program.
Shalom.
So, you know, how are we supposed to see the situation? You know, I could already see the world opinion shaping Israel once again trying to, you know, hurt innocent, you know, civilians that are trying to stop this Gaza blockade. That's the way it's going to be seen in international press. How do we see it?
Well, I think we have to start sending our message out and telling exactly what we think. It wasn't a peaceful mission coming to Israel. It wasn't humanitarian support delegation. What we saw here is an act of terror, where you had terrorists on the ship coming and they were seeking for the conflict. I regret deeply the loss of life on the sea and the Israeli soldiers who were wounded. But I think we have to say very clearly, the people who came had full intention to engage and have a conflict with Israeli defense forces. It didn't matter what the soldiers would have done or didn't do. They came to fight. They came with weapons. We found guns on board. And I think that every sovereign nation would have done what we did. Stop this act of terror before it enters the water of Israel.
Now, one of the people that was on the boat was the leader of the northern branch of the Islamic movement in Israel, and he's considered really a radical anti-Israel leader and ideologue. He was also once the mayor of Umm al-Fahim, an Israeli Arab city, and his name is Raed Salah. It looks like that he was injured along with some of the terrorists that were on board. What do you have to say about that? Is he like, you know, does his presence on the boat mean that this was certainly not a peace mission?
Absolutely. It's not only the Sheikh Raed Salah who is an infamous provocateur. We know that for many, many times he's actually initiating act of terror and he was in prison for that act. We know that there were other people, Hamas supporters, who came in order to incite, in order to create fights. And that was exactly what we are saying today. Those people, some of them are terrorists, some of them are provocateurs, and we had to stop them. I wish it didn't happen. I feel regret, but no shame on this day. The organizer of these boats must feel shame at the loss of life they are responsible for.
Do you feel that this is yet another kind of proof that the evacuation of the Jewish communities of Gaza was a mistake because we're just being represented all the time in the world as people who are holding back the Hamas government, and yet really this was Jewish lands not so long ago. I remember it well, and we had, you know, much more control, much less terrorism out of there, and now we have lost that land, given it up to terror, and we're also looking bad in world opinion.
Yeah, indeed. I think it should give us a very clear message for the future. If God forbid there will be a Palestinian state, there will be boats, there will be airplanes coming every now and then with acts of a what's so-called humanitarian effort. Let's imagine that you will get the Iranian regime sending Air Force One of Ahmadinejad coming to Ramallah. What we will do then? We will have to stop the plane on its way. That's why we have to take into consideration all those conditions and say very clearly that we put Israel's security on top priority, even if it means sometime we have to use force in order to defend ourselves.
Danny Danone, Knesset member for the Likud, Deputy Speaker of the Knesset and Chairman of World Likud, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right, I have Arya Dobuler on the line. He is a reserve soldier in Armored Recon, and he's also a student at the Hebrew University. And I have him on from time to time to comment on military affairs especially. Arya, what do you make of the flotilla, as I like to call it?
I think the flotilla is simply a provocation, brought up, concocted by not only local Arabs, but left-winger Israelis and liberal Europeans. I mean, the Israeli government has offered already to take whatever humanitarian, quote-unquote, supplies and to check them to make sure that they don't contain anything that could be used to harm Israel, and to then give it to the people in Gaza. And that offer was refused, and the people said, no, we're going to do it ourselves, and we're going to blatantly just go through your sovereign rules and sovereign territory and do it ourselves.
Now Turkey was highly involved in this, and you've seen videos already from Turkey, is that right?
Right, there's been already videos coming up now. There's no official release from the Israeli government, but there's been video from the Turkish television that was on the ships themselves, of commandos coming down, being beaten by protesters that are on the deck. And then afterwards, we all hear the terrible results. We hear that, I mean, I read many conflicting reports. Some said that 14 soldiers were wounded. Some Turkish television reported that there were two people killed, two protesters. Some people said it was 14. As of now, it's a little bit chaotic, but what seems to be very clear was the fact that ahead of time they knew that this was going to be a flashpoint. Right, the protesters knew that this was going to be a flashpoint. This is going to be great television to show Israeli soldiers attacking unarmed civilians. Well, it turns out that they weren't unarmed, first of all. And second of all, as somebody who's been there and done that, not naval activities, obviously, but we have dealt with, my unit has dealt with many, crowds that are unruly and protesters, and we are always told to have the utmost care in not harming or wounding or doing anything using force unnecessarily. And I 100% am sure that these soldiers, who are not just, again, some 18-year-old scared guy who just got into the army. I mean, these are trained naval commandos. I guarantee you that they were given specific orders to restrain themselves, to be very careful, with the knowledge also, obviously, that this is going to be televised. Be very careful. And the protesters used that, and used the fact that they knew that the commandos weren't going to swarm aboard shooting to hurt and cause casualties injuries among the soldiers. And it's a shame that instead of, again, focusing on that and for the world to be outraged and to say, why does this peaceful flotilla have weapons on board? They're, looking at the Israelis and saying, why did you defend yourselves?
Arya Dobular, Armored Reconnaissance Reserve soldier and student at the Hebrew U. Thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you so much.
Israeli forces stormed at least one ship attempting to break the blockade of Gaza. Commanders lowered themselves from the helicopters and onto the Mavi Marmara. That's the lead ship in a flotilla of six vessels which are carrying aid for the Palestinian territory. We can confirm that at least two people have been killed and more than 30 have been injured. Israeli radio is reporting the death toll may be as high as 16 people. Well, our reporter on board the ship sent this report before communications were cut.
The organizers on board the Mavi Marmara, after two people have been confirmed killed by the Israeli army, have now asked all the passengers to go inside. They've raised the white flag. This after Israeli commandos descended upon the ship in international water from a helicopter, as well as surrounded it by vessels from all sides. Tens of people, civilians, have been injured. There are still sounds of live fire despite the white flag being raised. Tens of people have been injured. Two people have been killed on board the ship, which holds 600 activists, parliamentarians, women, children, and the elderly, all of whom are civilians. Organizers have asked everyone to go inside. So this is where we shall head. Jamal Al-Shayal, Al Jazeera, on board the Mavi Marmara in international waters of the Mediterranean Sea.
I have on the line with me Josh Haston, who is a public relations specialist based out of Jerusalem, dealing with Sderot and with a lot of issues about a strong land of Israel, about a strong state of Israel. Josh, you sent out an email a few minutes ago with information about the flotilla and why Israel had every right to defend itself. What are you saying?
Yeah, actually, I got the information from a group called Stand With Us, friends of mine who are actually on the ocean witnessing firsthand what's going on in real time. And what Stand With Us reports is that this event by these so-called peace activists was in reality a pre-planned use of violence. Those who were on the boat actually were armed with knives, metal bars, and when the IDF troops came onto the boat in order to divert it to Ashdod, where they were willing, the funny thing is Israel was willing to allow the humanitarian aid into Gaza, despite the fact that they allow in tons every single day. They were willing to take the aid from the boat and deliver it themselves to Gaza. These people were armed to the teeth with knives, metal bars, and from what I hear, they were even successful in stealing one of the soldiers' guns and firing. The last report I heard that three soldiers were hurt. And these are not peace activists by any means. These are haters of Israel, of the Jewish state. They're organized. This entire event was organized by an Islamist organization that has links to all types of terror groups. They even brought small children on board, knowing that they would win over the public opinion, the battle of the media, if the imagery broadcast throughout the world was of, Israel beating up on small kids. They would win the public relations battle. This was a well thought out operation by our enemies in order to support a terrorist regime. And that's what this is. It's not a peace mission to Gaza. It's a show of solidarity with Hamas, an organization that is responsible for the deaths of thousands of Israelis and Americans.
And this is what I wanted to ask you. How are we going to be looking like in the world opinion? What do you think is going to come out of this?
We're already looking terrible. I mean, even this morning, the headlines on the New York Times was Israel attacks peace boat or something like that. That was the headline already on the New York Times. They changed it since then. It was already updated. The story was updated. The story is basically focusing not on the realities of what happened on the boat, but the story is focusing on how Israel raided, and they quote people who were on the boat, obviously lying, saying that they were unarmed, and that Israel simply attacked, went onto this boat and full-blown just started swinging at anything that moved, which obviously is a total lie. So Israel right now is facing an uphill battle And while the Hasbara efforts are much better now, I mean, I've already seen YouTube videos released defending our position, and Minister Danny Aiello has already had a press conference issuing statements which reflect the realities of the situation. We're already facing an uphill battle. The EU is already seeking international courts to investigate, and all sorts of a bunch of other countries are also calling for investigation. There are riots going on right now in Turkey outside the Israeli embassy. I mean, the whole world is turning against us when no other country in the world would allow ships to approach its borders without at least inspecting the cargo.
So
all Israel wanted to do is inspect the cargo. We were going to deliver. Any humanitarian aid was going to be delivered by Israel. But in reality, they were armed. Their intention was to cause a bloodbath. And in the end, 10, at least 10, maybe up to 15 of their own people were sacrificed. And they did this to themselves.
Josh Haston, media and marketing specialist based out of Jerusalem, defending Israel. Thanks so much for being with us on the program.
Thanks very much, Yishai.
All right, folks, you are listening to Yishai and Friends on Israel National Radio. We are covering the Float Killer and Israel's response to it. What do you think? Write me an email, yishai@israelnationalradio.com. I think that we should come out tough. I think that we should let everybody know this is what happens when you mess with Israel. This is what happens when you mess with Israel. I think that we should come out with unequivocal messages, not apologetic, and just say, if you're thinking of joining these type of groups, you're going to end up in a graveyard. That's what happens when you mess with Israel. We're a little bit crazy. We're a little bit crazy about our country. We protect ourselves, and we're out to get you, terrorists. We're going to find you, and you're going to die. I don't care what guise you put yourself in. You could be an Iranian official. You could be part of the ISM. Whatever guise you come in to try to destroy Israel, we're going to get you. And I don't think there's any other answer. Right now is the time that we have to steel ourselves. We have enemies all over the world right now, and they are just itching to start a war with us. We've got to steal the Israeli public, and we've got to steal our friends and tell them, guys, this is the time to be tough. There are serious, bad people, perpetrators out there, and we have to show them that it's just not worth it for them. Stay tuned, folks. More great stuff on Yishai and Friends, Israel National Radio.
Hello? Yeah, I wanted to know, do you deliver falafels to the top of Mount Zion? Great! I'd like a large falafel with pepperoni, sausage, and extra cheese. Yes, I know what a falafel is.
You're listening to IsraelNationalRadio.com.
You people are so pushy.
What, Israeli people are pushy? You, stay there, surrounded by your great enemy, Canada. Try Syria for 2 months, then we'll see who's pushy.
Connect to Israel through Israel National Radio.
Israel is known for its breakthroughs in medical research, including the field of herbal supplements. Prishal Opuntimal is dedicated to the wellness of men and women, particularly in the areas of prostate and urinary tract health. We make it affordable for you to get the very best natural health supplements available. Don't just suffer. Get Prishal brand Opuntimal. Order it online at prishal.com. That's PRISSO.com.
You are listening to Yishai and Friends on Israel National Radio, second half of the Float Killer show. The Float Killer floated into Israel, tried to break through the barrier that we have, the blockade around Gaza. Now, I'm not in favor of no blockades, but I am not in favor of no Hamas either, and I'm not in favor of any Turkish-organized, supposedly peace, humanitarian relief, which is actually tied into radical Islamic anti-Western orientation, besides its legitimate philanthropic activities, the IHH, the International Humanitarian Humus Fund is supported by radical Islamic networks, including Hamas, and is part of the global jihad element, but it's dressed up as the modern day jihad is, in the words of peace, international law, and righteousness and goodness for all mankind. But really, they were carrying weapons. They were coming onto these ships with these weapons in order to either bring the weapons to Hamas or in order to actually do what they did, which was meet eyeball to eyeball with the Israeli Navy and fight them. What the surprise is the amount of dead right now, 16 as I'm doing the show, 16 people are reported dead on the hostile side. Israeli army, Israeli naval soldiers are injured as well. And the Sheikh Raed Salah was on ship on the board as well, and he seems to be injured, and he's in Israeli hospitals as well. Malka Fleischer is with me in the studios to cover the Float Killa event. And one of the things that's bothering me, Malka, in this whole thing is that we're focused very much on this event as it is right now, but there's not a lot of discussion of the more macro question, which is, how did we allow this all to happen? Gaza was under Israeli control. The beach there was our beach. The port there was like our port. Now, you know, we gave up that land. We kicked the Jews out. We've made it into a Hamas-controlled thing. Now you have arms in Hamas land in Gaza. Now we are going to lose on the world media arena because of this flotilla. And that's what drives me insane, which is like we're trying to fight a battle now that we've already made a lot of bad mistakes leading up to it. That's what's troubling me. And I want to see a strong Israel. I want to see a Jewish presence in Gaza. But instead we have this flotilla. We have Hamas. Are we going to win this flotilla battle in world media, you think?
I think so, actually. I was thinking about it on the bus. And I think that we will win, because I think if we did not respond to their violence, then we would not win. But I think that because we responded successfully, and this is going to sound like dark and cynical, but because we killed a lot of people who were armed and shooting at us, I think the world likes that. I've said it once, I'll say it, you know, again. It's like when we are tough, when we fight a war well, people are psyched. When we fight a war poorly, people are furious. I'll give you two examples. We got the second Lebanon war, and we've got Operation Cast Lead. During the second Lebanon war, it was unbearable the amount of negative press and lambasting that Israel was subject to. During Operation Cast Lead, the whole world was quiet. After Operation Cast Lead, when we left prematurely, then the press started to get all rowdy and, you know, Ban Ki-moon started to come out with all kinds of brilliant statements. The second Lebanon war, we fought very poorly. Hashem have mercy on us. A lot of soldiers died in poorly planned battles in Lebanon. In Operation Cast Lead, we were, if I may use a phrase from our generation, kicking butt and taking names. And the whole world was like, that's what we heard from the world. So I think that our response, the only thing we have to do now,
silence is what we heard.
Yes. The only thing that we have to do to like tie this thing up is to come out with strong PR statements by top officials.
Like, don't miss.
Like, we did the right thing. We feel gratified by the response of the IDF, and it's a shame that we had to respond this way, but we will always respond to threats to our border, that kind of thing. If we come out with statements like that, if that's the kind of thing that the army and the government comes out with, then the world is going to say, okay. If we come out with, gee, it was really sad and wish we didn't have to do that.
We are already coming out strong, Malka. We're coming out strong.
Well, then we're going to win in the world.
Let me just recap. Israeli commandos on Monday stormed six ships carrying hundreds of pro-Hamas activists on an aid mission, aid to terror, to blockaded Gaza Strip, blockaded also, let's not forget, by Egypt, killing at least 10, but some are reporting 16, we'll see, and wounding dozens after encountering unexpected resistance as the forces boarded the vessels. The operation in international waters off the Gaza coast was a nightmare scenario for Israel, according to Yahoo News, that looked certain to damage its international standing and straining already tense relations with Turkey.
See, that's good news.
Right.
When Yahoo says it's a nightmare scenario, that means they want it to be a nightmare scenario, and they're trying to tell you that it's a nightmare scenario. Otherwise, they would just let it speak for itself. But the reality is, it's not a nightmare scenario
right.
for Israel.
It's a tough scenario.
It's a tough, and it's a serious situation for Israel.
Right.
But it's actually a nightmare scenario for the fools who decided to attack the state of Israel.
Good point. I mean, I like what you're saying. The tough Israeli response, says Yahoo News, drew condemnation from Turkey, France, and the UN Mideast envoy, while Greece suspended a military exercise with Israel and postponed a visit by Israel's Air Force chief. About 10,000 Turks also marched from Israel's consulate in Istanbul towards the city's main square, shouting slogans denouncing Israel. The protesters earlier Monday tried to storm the consulate building, but were blocked by police. In response, Israel has advised its citizens... Today, they advised the citizens of Israel to avoid travel to Turkey and instructed those already there to keep a low profile and avoid crowded downtown areas. Our relationship with Turkey has soured. I've got no problem with that. I think that's nothing new.
I think we should have premeditatively.
Suspended our relations with Turkey, you know, already some time ago when they...
What were they thinking sending that boat? Would they accept a boat like that from Israel? If the tables were turned, would Turkey accept some random boat that Israel decided to...
Not a random boat, a terror boat.
Let's say it wasn't a terror boat.
But it was.
Okay, it yeah. was. It was a boat full of terrorists and friends of terrorists. But let's say it wasn't. Let's say it was just a boat that was all about dirtying the face of Turkey and making Turkey look bad, and we're sending it to Turkey. Would Turkey go for that? I don't think so.
No. Malka, interestingly enough, last week I started talking with Moshe Feiglin of Manigut Yehudit about Israel's military preparedness and its proper response, and I played only one half of that interview, saving the other half for today, and I think it's very befitting now that Israel, I think that the situation, you're going to see it warm up, you're going to see Turkey trying to turn on Syria, trying to turn on Hezbollah. You're going to see Iran. Iran's already calling to boycott Israel. And basically, there's like a real world push right now by the, you know, aligned axis of evil to destroy Israel. Let's see what Moshe Feiglin thinks is the proper military response.
Well, first of all, we have to understand that the concept that worked between America and the Soviet Union at the time, America and Russia today, the concept of two sides that has too much to lose from a nuclear war, and therefore there's kind of a peace on under that threat. This concept, it will be very, very stupid to think that this concept can work between Israel and Iran. Very stupid. First of all, because 70-80% of Israel live in one big city, the Gush Dan area, the Tel Aviv area. And Iran is a much bigger country and spread in many, many, many more cities. And even though Israel can cause a second hit, yet the Iranian already proved that they don't mind. Not only them, the entire Muslim Arabic society, they don't mind in losing 1 million, 2 million, 5 million civilians. It's worth nothing to them. It's worthwhile to them. It's worthwhile for Ahmadinejad to lose million people and to be the one who destroys Israel. It will make him the king of the Islamic world, and maybe more than just the Islamic world. So the temptation to use this weapon against Israel, if he has it, is in a total different place than was during the Cold War between America and Russia. This is first of all. Second thing that is very important to understand is there is not such a thing, a 100% ability to shut down the missiles that he will use with if he wants to throw the bomb at us. So these simple facts bring us to the conclusion that Israel simply cannot allow itself to let Iran having that bomb. So far, Netanyahu, who promised that this would be his major major challenge, he see that as the most important thing to become a prime minister. He said that he said that will be my test. So far, he failed the test dramatically. Why am I saying that? Not only because he lost more than a year, and every day that passes makes the Israeli ability to solve the problem smaller, not bigger, for many, many reasons. Not only because of that, but from a very stronger reason. If you remember, Yishai, when Netanyahu got into power, the Obama government threw a test, as they say, flew a test balloon in the air. They said, Yitzhar for Bushhar, meaning you give us Yitzhar, you destroy the village of Yitzhar, and in return, we the Americans will take care of the Iranian problem for you, of Bushhar, the nuclear reactor in Bushhar. At the beginning, Netanyahu said, "No way. It's not acceptable that we, the Israelis, will have to pay for our own security, for our own ability to remain alive." We passed that stage in the diaspora, and today we have the right to defend ourselves in our own sovereign state without paying for that right. However, a year later, we're not only paying with Bushhar, we freeze the entire settlements, hoping that the Americans will do the job for us. We're splitting Jerusalem. And not only that, we already the question of Dimona, of Israel get rid of its nuclear ability, comes to the table as well. So not only the question of Yitzhar is on the table, but also the question of Jerusalem is on the table, and also the question of Dimona is on the table.
And on the other side, in Iran, nothing has stopped at all.
Nothing has stopped at all. It become their development is getting, they're getting closer and closer to have the bomb, and it's going to be harder and harder to hit it because the reactors are
underground.
Become hot, as they say. Mm-hmm. It become much more complicated to hunt down than what the Iraqi reactor was 20 years ago.
Okay.
So that is that problem. Now we have other problems as well. We know that Israel let the Hezbollah and the Hamas arm themselves with missiles that covers today the entire country, the entire land of Israel, and we don't really have a solution for that. We have to create a new ball game. We have to create a ball game where this missiles, as long as it's there in Iran, in Lebanon, and in Gaza, those who sent it, those who prepare it, paying a price regularly. And those who sent it are in Egypt, in Cairo, and in Iran. These missiles that got into Gaza would not have been there without the full support of Cairo and, of course, Tehran. So they have to be pressed militarily. Their people should be kidnapped. Their people should be hunted down wherever they go. They should feel pressure on their on. I'm talking about the people who are making the decisions. The regime should feel the threat. Israel should move from the offensive mode, from the defensive mode to the offensive mode in all circles, in all the circles. And if needs, a new rules should be made. A new rules means that if, again, Israel will be attacked from Lebanon, those territories that Israel should be attacked from would be occupied. The population will have to move from there, and it will become just like the Golan Heights, a part of the land of Israel. There should be a law of return on lands, not only on people, not only on the Jewish people, also of the land of Israel, not only of the people of Israel, also on the land of Israel. And they should understand that this is serious. Today they have nothing to lose. Life means nothing to them. Land means a lot to them. If you change these rules, Jews will be live here in peace for you know, forever. If we keep the rules that the state of Israel, by running of its own Jewish identity, let them made. If we keep these rules the way they are, we simply losing our ability to defend ourselves, and it's meaningless how strong we're going to be technologically and from any other aspects. We simply will not be able to survive like that.
Good advice from Moshe Feiglin. Moshe Feiglin, thank you very much for that analysis of identity and military strength, how to act in terms of strengthening the Jewish resolve.
I hope I explained the strong and the strong connection between the two. You cannot solve the problem just with the technical solution. You have to solve the whole problem.
The arms, you know, a weapon that's not fired is a useless weapon, and if there's nothing behind it, then you can have even the might of America, you can have even at ground zero, where the attacks of Islam took place against America, now they're building a mosque there. So if you don't have identity, if you don't have a sense of righteous indignation, if you don't know what you stand for, then it doesn't matter what armada you have, what F-16s fly in the air, if you don't know how to use it, you don't know who, you can't identify the bad guy, and you can't identify your own identity, then those weapons are useless.
Exactly.
Moshe Feiglin, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, you are listening to Yishine Friends on Israel National Radio, and I want to cap off this hour about the Float Killer with one vignette from the Torah portion, which is so important, and that is that the spies in the Torah portion of Shlach, this is for me, my most favorite Torah portion, and it's the Torah portion that I get the most kind of inspiration from in so many ways, the spies that came back with a bad report, one of the things that was apparent upon them from their words was that they became afraid, and they saw the peoples that were in the land as huge, and they saw themselves as crickets, as grasshoppers. And when they saw themselves as grasshoppers, they also felt that the people who saw them also saw them as grasshoppers. What is the point here? I mean, it's a kind of very deep message and yet very simple, which is how you project yourself, how you feel inside, is how the world perceives you. Okay, so if you feel like a winner inside, you're perceived as a winner. If you feel like a loser inside, you're seen as a loser. Israel just underwent a mission to stop this flotilla. Somehow 16
terror activists were killed, and there's only one message that Israel should say to the world. Israel cannot win love. Right now, we can win respect, and we can also put fear into the hearts of our enemies. This is a moment of deterrence, and now we have to milk it for all it's worth. We have to send the message. Ahmadinejad, that's what you're going to get. Bashar Assad, that's what you're going to get. Bad guys all over the world, that's what you're going to get. We are not Mr. Nice Guy anymore. We are not going to be sheep to the slaughter as we were in the Holocaust. We are going to be tough, and we're not going to take it. And this is something that Israel should learn also, which is the biggest mistake was to give away our land under the guise of Mr. Nice Guy, under the rubric of let's give land for peace. That was self-destructive. That has led to this moment today. We are not allowed to give away our land. It is not advisable to give away our land. It is neither rational, nor is it religious, nor is it just plain old common sense smart. Now it is incumbent upon us to take this event, this phenomenon, this moment, and to let it teach us a lesson, not just the world. Let it teach us a lesson. As we broadcast ourselves outwardly, we should also broadcast ourselves inwardly and say to ourselves, Jewish nation, we must be tough. This is the rules of engagement of the Middle East. This is the only way to be around here. And this is the rational choice. The rational, pragmatic choice is the one that says, fight your enemies and don't give in to them. Don't give up to them. Push back the bully. I salute the Israeli Navy and the commandos who acted with bravery in defending us from the float killer. I salute you. Those that are injured on the Jewish side, on the Israeli side, I pray for your health and recovery soon. And to the enemies of Israel, I say, there's more where that came from. Don't mess with us. We are in love with our land, and we are crazy for it. And there's no way we're going to give it up to you. We are going to stand strong. We are going to fight, and we are going to win the day and be a light unto the nations. But first, we will not give up any ground. Stay tuned. More great stuff. Yishai and friends, Israel National Radio.